If everybody just stand up, we're going to read scripture this morning. It's the same verse I've been reading the last few weeks. And before we jump into as you stand, I just want to say another praise report. This past week, we had a youth, and there was like 20 students at youth ministry this past week. Stacy started a thing called Junior Bible Quiz this week, and there was 10 kids at Junior Bible Quiz this week. Isn't that awesome? And my son came home, and I had to ask him questions, like how many books in the Bible? He knew the answers. I was like, whoa, buddy, this is awesome. And so it's just good to kids and know scripture. But here's a verse, and I just want us to read this, because if you're doing devotions through the week, and I hope you are, this is one of those things that's really good to look at. And it says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Lord, I just pray for us this morning. Lord, you are able to do immeasurably more than what I think about this before we can even ask or think about it. Lord, you are setting things up. And I pray for each person in this room this morning. Lord, help us to get your vision and your dream and your direction in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. We've been doing a series called Miracles, and miracles, as it describes, is a manifestation of something. It's usually what it is a sign of something bigger. Miracles always point to something bigger, and like I said, a sign in the road always point to something bigger. And I just want to say where we're at. This week, we're going to talk about vision and hearing from the Lord. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus calming the storm. Anybody else face storms in your life? Raise your hand. Anybody else go through? So next week, going through how do you handle situations and problems, because he is the God of the storms even. So next week, we're going to talk about, as Jesus was asleep in the boat, what should we do? When you don't hear the Lord, what should we do? And that's a big question. When God is not, we're not hearing what God is saying, what should we do? So next week will be that. And then we're going to move into some of Jesus' actually physical healings. And at that point, we're going to start praying for some physical healings. But right now, we're just kind of laying that foundation of our mindsets. And so the miracles of the Lord really is just those signs. But today I'm going to talk about, as we open this up, I want to talk about just kind of vision. Anybody, you could put that picture of the mall map. Anybody go shopping in here besides my wife? Anybody else like to go shopping? Yeah. I enjoy a good mall run every once in a while, but when you go to a new place to go shopping, like Mall of America or someplace else, and you want to find a store, one of these usually pops up. You go find one of these right away, and you look for one of these. And what's the first thing you do when you get to one of these, when you're trying to find a store? Anybody know? Yeah, you look for the store number, look for everything, and then you look for that little thing that says, you are here, right? Because in order to know where you're going, you gotta know where you're at. Isn't that funny? Like so many people say, I don't even know where I'm going. I say, where are you? I don't know. Like, we don't even know where you're at, so how do you know where you're going? So that little dot tells you, listen, you are here. And it might be, that's what Adam and Eve said. God said, where are you? And they said, we are here. Even though we're naked and we're hiding, we're no longer naked, but we're still hiding. He wanted them to verbalize that where they're at. We, as Christians, need to be honest and verbalize to the Lord and others where we're at. We're not doing good. We are doing good. We need more of this. And so you are here. Now, when I think about the journey of my wife and I, today I'm going to share about just my wife and I's story a little bit going into this. But when I think about stories, and we all have stories, I sometimes think about chaos. Like, you might look at your point now and say, how did I end up here? And then you look back saying, this is not making sense. And then you look over the last 20 years or 5 years and go, well, this does make sense, right? Anybody else been there with me? You're saying, that does make sense. For instance, if Paul's missionary journey, there's going to be a picture up on the screen. Paul's missionary journey, one of my favorite parts of the Bible is at the very end of the maps. You look at the maps and you're like, whoa, these are crazy. But when you look at Paul's missionary journey, that's a mess. I mean, it wasn't like he was taking like motorized boats. He was just going kind of where things, sometimes he was captured and thrown in prison. Sometimes he hopped in a boat and he didn't know where he was going. Sometimes the kind of funny thing is, wherever Paul went, one of two things happened. Either a revival broke out or a riot broke out, right? Like, that's what happened. And so sometimes he ended up shipwrecked on an island, and the whole island had a revival on it. You think about this. Like, this is, and so you look at this and says, there is no rhyme or reason. But then you hear the stories of where he ended up, and there was a purpose behind every single destination. Are you guys hearing this so far? It wasn't an accident that God brought him to a place. It was by divine appointment and providence that God brought him to that point. Are we all on the same page this morning? Say amen. Okay, so when I look at our transition, my wife and I, this is a very interesting transition because my calling is kind of, my wife and I have a similar calling where I feel like I was called into ministry at a really young age. I used to live, my parents and I grew up in Wilmer, Minnesota, well, sixth grade on, and you know, Wilmer, Minnesota, and that's where I went to junior high and high school, and I feel like I was called into ministry there and at a very young age. But God never gave me a direction of saying, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a youth pastor, you're going to be a missionary. All I heard pretty much was saying, you're going to be in a ministry. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to do kids ministry though. And that's for sure. And so, but I didn't say don't want to, because every time I say the Lord has me in that kind of position. So never say the Lord, I will never, because there you go. There's your answer. But I knew the Lord called me into ministry. And so at that time, there was this older guy in our church in Wilmer, and it's called Wilmer Assembly of God Church. There was this older guy, and I'm telling you, he wore a cardigan every Sunday morning. This older guy, he was a former missionary to Bangladesh, and there's a picture of him up here, and his name was Calvin, and his wife's name was Marion Olson. And something you should know about Calvin and Marion Olson is they were missionaries in Bangladesh for over 40 years. They actually started a Bible college and several Bible colleges and churches over there. There is a story about Calvin and Marion. They couldn't have their own kids because something was medically wrong. So they found, close to their church, they found this little boy rummaging through garbage, and they got to know this little boy and his family, and they kind of discipling this little boy. This little boy's name is Asa Kane, and now Asa Kane is now in charge of the Bible college and the church over in Bangladesh. Isn't that cool? And so Calvin and Marion, not having their own kids, adopted a few of us guys as their own kids, and so I became one of their kids. And so Calvin came up to me on a Sunday morning one time and says, hey, I want to pray with you before school. And I said, what does that mean? And he says, I want to pray with you before you go to school. Just meet here at a certain time, 45 minutes before you got to leave, and let's just have a prayer time together. And I said, okay. So I met with Calvin, I think it was my sophomore year, my junior year, my senior year, and we met before school. I would love to tell you I made it every single time. But I was bad in like probably three, you know what I'm saying? Probably about 600 at that time. You know what I'm saying? Just sleeping in. You know how it is in high school and just kind of, or in life in general. And I would make it about three days a week, and we'd pray and talk. And then I went to college. And then my wife and I went to North Central Bible College, and we stayed connected. And I remember, actually, Evangel, then I went to North Central. When I was at Evangel, I came back because Calvin got cancer, got really sick. And I won't ever forget the day when I came back. I was a pallbearer at Calvin Olson's funeral. And that next, about a month later, it was my birthday, May. And the first person I came back to see was Marion Olson in Wilmer. I mean, like, I just, you know, because of the whole cancer thing with Cal, she was still alive. I just wanted to see how she was doing. I went to her house, had lunch. And I won't ever forget, after lunch, she goes, I got a present for you for your birthday. And I said, are you serious? And she goes up in her closet, pulls it down. This is a really nice, you know, wrap gift. And I open it up, and it was this. It was Calvin Olson's Bible. And on the front of it even says Calvin Olson on the front of it. And it was actually given by Marion. And it had all of his notes still in it. She says, I left it the way it is for you. And I won't ever forget that moment of just saying, holy, that's like one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. I mean, the pages are falling out. I can pull out pages because it's been used so much. And so fast forward, my wife, I was calling ministry. So was my wife. We met at North Central Bible College. And we were doing ministry there at a place called Emmanuel Christian Center. And we're just loving life. And we were going through ministry. We were looking at some positions. And then fast forward, we got offered a job in Brainerd, Minnesota. And we were in Brainerd. And this is a part I just want to use some, we're not going to go into detail here, but We were became youth pastors in Brainerd, and we love Brainerd, we love the people. We were there for about 5 years, and about 5 years into it, I started feeling this unsettledness. Anybody else there? Like, you feel like something's different. Like, and there were some, just some things, and it wasn't bad. It was just unsettling. And I was about ready to, I had a conversation with my senior pastor, great guy, and we're talking about it. And I really felt strongly like, this might be our turning. Like, we might be done. Like, and I started to fast and pray just to see what God wants to do. And here's what the Lord told me straight up. And my wife, this is a funny story, but I said, the only thing I feel like the Lord told me was 2 years. And I went home, and she's like, are you serious? He didn't tell me that. You know, but I said, I feel like we got to give it 2 years. And so we literally dove in 2 years, 100%. We were youth pastors. We loved the church and the community. We dove headfirst 2 years. And people would come looking us for jobs, and we'd say, no, God told us 2 years, you know, saying just to hunker down and give it our best for 2 years. And I won't ever forget it. It was the night before our 2 years was up, the Lord told me. We were about ready to go to bed that night, my wife and I, and she says, well, God spoke to you 2 years ago, tomorrow. Nothing's on the radar. Nothing's going on. You know what I'm saying? Now what? And I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm just listening to the Lord. I went to the youth building that morning and was putting chairs and stuff, getting ready for youth service that morning. And literally, it was 2 years to the day, to the hour, that my senior pastor walks in and says, I just had a conversation with my boss, and as of right now, I officially resigned from the church. And I was like, come again? And I said, and then I literally couldn't believe that God spoke to us, that the God of all heaven wanted us to know the saying, hold your ground for the next 2 years. And then we helped walk the church through that process of the next process. And then we still felt released. And there's a whole long story with that. But we loved that church, but we felt that release. And so we decided to say, we went to different people in our life and saying, what's our next step? What's the next step for us? Like, what is God calling us to do? We know youth ministry was over, but what do you want us to take over a church? Do you want us to be missionaries? Do you want us to, and we got a couple of people coming and saying, do you want to be church planners? And we're like, my wife was more into it than I was. And I'm like, I don't know. And it was literally, we were on our way to Phoenix to see some friends. And as we're driving, we decided we had a few hours to extra, and we decided to go to the long way around the cities, and we saw a sign for Stillwater, and we decided, you know what, let's just go to Stillwater. We have some time. And as we hit Stillwater, we felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my wife and I at the same time and said, welcome home. We didn't know anything about Stillwater. We didn't know one person that lived here. We didn't know anything about the culture, the demographic. We didn't know anything. And we just end up in Stillwater. And so we started that process saying, well, let's plant a church in Stillwater. So we had to go out, raise support, raise money. We had to find support for a year and a half because we might not have anybody coming to church. And so that's when Dan and Brina jumped in, my parents jumped in, Stacy jumped in, Ben jumped in. We had to build a launch team, and we launched our church service in March of 2013, and it was crazy. And what I realized in the whole process, I thought it was a vision that God gave my wife and I, but it was that God gave our church plant, and God gave this community, and God gave, and that fast forwards it to right now. And so as we sit today, I look back, just like Paul's missionary journey, you go boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, 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 and you're like, now we're here. And this place has never felt more home than any place else I've ever been at. I mean, this place, like, when I go, as soon as I drive into Stillwater, when I go home, I'm like, I love being here. I love it. When I go downtown, my daughter, Charlie, even calls that downtown lift bridge my bridge. She goes, Dad, there's your bridge. And I'm like, yeah, it's my bridge. I love being here. I love the community. I love walking around. I love meeting people. I love the business. I love getting to know the principals and the teachers. I love getting to know you, because I feel like we are exactly where God has called us to be. Amen? So as we sit here today, then our team starts praying about, we don't know Stillwater. When we first pre-launched, we're praying about Stillwater. We're praying about this. God, what is our vision? And we came up with love, grow, serve. We're called to love. We're called to grow. We're called to serve. And But God, what's our long term? Because here's the deal. You can have big vision, but what I get more excited about is long vision. Because that's sustainable vision. God, what have you called us to do for the long term? What have you called us to do? And so here's the cool thing. And this is what I want to, here's the huge vision I want to share with you guys today is this. Is one thing I forgot to mention. When God said 2 years, we went on another fast after that 2 year mark. And the only thing the Lord spoke to me strongly that next time was just be still and know. Isn't that funny? That's great. So one, I had to wait for 2 years, and now you're telling me be still and know. So I'm just throw that out there. So all of a sudden, that's how we, when we get to Stillwater, I had a missionary friend here who was visiting by the name of Phil Zarns. He was actually visiting Stillwater. He saw a sign for Stillwater by the river. I think it was a construction sign. And this is what he said to me. After we decided to come to Stillwater, the Lord spoke to us. He sent me a text message with the name of Stillwater on it and the water that was really calm on the river. And this is what he said, be still and know in Stillwater, Minnesota. Isn't that amazing? He didn't know any about this, but here's what's cool about it. So we come here, we're dreaming, what has God called us to do? And I really believe this, and you can put this picture up. I drew this little sketch yesterday. And so 3-minute sketch. So just this is called the St. Croix River. And there's places on either side, Minnesota, Wisconsin. We are a church plant, and we are part of church plant family. Our parent church is right now, they are in the process of beginning their 5th church plant. And so they started us, and they're starting other churches. And the more I thought about this is because here's the reason why this is important. It's simple math, because you can either be a church that divides, which nobody wants division in a church, right? Or you can be a church that subtracts, and you don't want to lose people, unless you really don't like them, right? You just want to get rid of them, but in most cases you don't want to lose people. Or you can add, which is really good. We always want addition, or you can multiply. And multiplication is, dude, what is God doing here that God can do someplace else? And so one of the things we've been talking about staff is saying, how does this look and where does this look? And here is the call I believe that God has given us. God has called us, of course, to do missions around the world, but to reach into the St. Croix Valley area and minister to the St. Croix Valley area. Doesn't matter the size or location of the town, but to do ministry, not just in Stillwater, but to do ministry in the St. Croix Valley area. And this goes up on either side of the river, all the way up to Taylor's Falls, all the way down to Hastings, and then the cross. You're looking at towns like Prescott and Hudson, you're looking at Holton, Taylor's Falls, you're looking at River Falls, you're looking at Matamidi, looking at these places saying, is there a healthy church in that system right now? And what if the town is 3,000 people, what if we had a lead pastor and a Watermark campus go to that area and add value to a community across the river in another community? So just to tell you what I've been doing for the last year, besides preaching and being here, I've been having these conversations with our fellowship saying, could we cross border lines and start planting churches in Wisconsin and Minnesota? And not only did they give us a blessing, but they're going to help us do this in a different way. So I'm not saying we're going to plant 20 churches in the next 5 years. What I'm saying is in the next year, year and a half, we're starting this process. We're putting money away every month of our account because it takes money to plant a church. You guys with me here so far? And people say, is this going to be a video campus? No, because I love that. That works. But to reach these communities, I believe there needs to be some people on, there needs to be a pastor, there needs to be a kids pastor underground to be reaching these small communities across the river, up the river, down the river, on this side of the river, because this is a kingdom business. We're not in a business of just filling our pews. We are in a business of filling heaven. Amen. And I believe one of the greatest tools right now that's happening in what we have is church planting, because when a new healthy church comes to the community with the mindset of saying we're going to add value to a community, we're going to serve, we're going to love, and we're going to grow this thing, and we're going to grow people, something begins to happen in that community. What if Watermark's DNA went over to Houlton, Minnesota? What if Watermark's DNA went to Taylor's Falls? What if our family got spread out so we can reach the St. Croix Valley? Can you imagine 20 years from now that we can have kid churches and then planting churches and then planting churches all across the St. Croix Valley area so we can do some miracle stuff together in the St. Croix Valley area? Who is with me on this so far? It takes, and here's what it does. It takes vision, it takes leadership, and it just takes us getting involved and praying. And this, and so two is this. What's crazy about this, you might be thinking, how does this look for me? I don't know. Right now, we're putting money away, and then within the next year, here's what we need to figure out. We need to figure out the people who are going to lead this, the pastor. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's coming to a head. We're just talking to people. You know what I'm saying? We're going to need people. We're going to send people. We're going to need people to help this thing grow. Does that make sense? We're going to need people, and we're going to need prayer. So the biggest thing you can do right now is just help us dream and help us pray. Help us pray for God to open up doors. There's really not a time frame, but we're in a process right now of doing this. And once we get this ball rolling, I just want the ball to keep on rolling. Does that make sense? So if that's one every 2 years, if that's one, you know what I'm saying, year and a half, whatever that is, I just want to keep that momentum going to keep on planting churches to serve God's greatest kingdom on earth. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Say amen. And so that's that. Here's what's cool about that is if we do it that way, and let's just say we have a campus in, you know what I'm saying, in Hastings, we have a campus in Taylor's Falls, or, you know, if we have a campus in Somerset, whatever it is, we still want Watermark Stillwater to be the hub. Like the location, the hub, that it's like it, like the spoke that holds it all together. Like we, you know what I'm saying, we're the parent church, and we're just loving and we're sending. Because it's not about seating capacity, it's about sending capacity. It's about sending people out to do God's work. And so we just want, so how does this make sense? So in the process of all this, here's what's kind of cool, is that I got a phone call, and my friend Eric Schoberg is not here today. And it was a year ago, it was at right before our second birthday. Where's Eric? There he is, Eric. Eric, raise your hand. I didn't see you this morning. I'm glad you're here, Eric. Eric is here. So I think it was right before our second birthday, wasn't it? It was like 2 weeks before our second birthday, and I was talking about Calvin Olson, and I was like, hey, Calvin, you know, I was sharing a story about Calvin Olson and my mentor, and Eric comes up to me afterwards and says, my grandpa knows Calvin. And I said, I don't even know. That's awesome. How? Tell me the story. Like, because I come across people that know Calvin, but not in an intimate way. So tell me about this. And so, oh, he goes, oh, my grandpa and Calvin started a church together. I said, in Bangladesh? Right? Remember this? Like, I'm like confused. And he goes, no, in Stillwater. And I went, you're lying. And he goes, no. And then the next week, he brought me this book. It's taken from the Calvary Assembly of God Church right down the road. It was a church that my mentor, and if you look at this, he sent me this one first. And this is actually, if you look on the front cover, it says Founders, and it has a picture of Calvin Olson right on the front page of it. And I won't ever forget reading this thing. And all of a sudden, as I'm reading this, it comes to this historical sketch. Now, can I just read this paragraph to you? This is a church living as evidence of prayer. 2 decades ago, and this is taken from 1960. I think this book is 1970, something like that. It says, 2 decades ago, a lady in Stillwater prayed faithfully that someone would bring the message of Jesus Christ to Stillwater. God is faithful to answer that. And in the fall of 1947, the answer to her prayers was realized when a group of students from North Central Bible College, where I went to college, expressed their desire to pioneer a new church in the Twin Cities. And after several days of prayer, they felt definitely directed to go to Stillwater, Minnesota. The students who formed this gospel quintet, and they went to the Lames, and it says they borrowed a car, your grandpa's, And they drove to Stillwater and planted a church. And they said in 1947, they began to put things together. And all of a sudden, in 1962, they actually put the building together in 1962. Can I just tell you something about this? Here I am about to go into our two-year birthday of this church. I don't know any of this. All I know is God called us to go to Stillwater. I never heard my mentor ever talk about Stillwater. And all of a sudden, I don't have any information really about his past. And now all of a sudden, I got all this information that he planted a church right where God has called me to be. Is this weird to anybody else? It's almost like God was saying to me, confirmation that you're exactly where you need to be. And this book talks about how they went to the VFW, is that it? And they actually planted a church within a VFW, then they actually used a Lutheran church, and then they got enough money to start a thing. But here's what's crazy about that, is that church is still in existence today. And about a month ago, our fellowship came to us and asked us if we can kind of do something with that church. So here's my cool announcement for today. One, we're doing vision, and we want this to be the nucleus that we send out church planning, right, to St. Croix Valley. And here's the deal. I'm just going to read you this. Here's an interesting thing. The Church Calvary will be joining forces with Watermark Church to reach the St. Croix Valley area. The Calvary Church building will become a Watermark Operation Center later this year. We will be doing our midweek events, worship team practice, youth service, Bible studies, life groups, some life groups. In addition, we'll be making some new ministries, Alpha. We might even do a Watermark Classic 55 Plus service. And this will be an automatic value added to our church and our vision to reach the community. So we need your help. We need your help to make improvements, to update, and to do what God has called us to do. What's amazing about this is 1962, God called our mentor here, and now, sometime this year, our offices are going to be in that same building that my mentor put together. Isn't that amazing? So there's some older people that go to that church right now, and some of them, I'm not sure all of them, some are going to be part of our church. And what's cool about that is this, is they're joining Watermark. And I even told them, I said, once a month, we're going to do a 50-plus service over there, and we're going to do our worship nights over there. And people ask, so we're going to use that on Sunday mornings? I'm like, no, we're going to stay here on Sunday mornings. So people always ask me, saying, well, are we going to move over there at all? And I said, no, you know what we're going to do is we're going to use that for our operations center through the week. We're going to meet here on Sunday mornings, but then we can keep on growing. We've been talking about we want to do Alpha. We want to do these things, and now JBQ can meet there. We can do all of our midweek Wednesday night activities there on Wednesday night. We can, you know what I'm saying, we can set up stuff. We can set up shop during the week and on weekends have service here. Some people might ask, well, why don't we do it over there? Can you put the picture of the outside of the building up? Here's that building as it is right now. Isn't that awesome? If you want to know the location of it, it's right off Osgood Avenue, right next to the Holiday gas station, right by Carboni's over there. And then here's the inside of the building. If you can go to the inside of it, that's the sanctuary right now. And yeah, Grandma goes to that church. There's people here that have family. There's people here actually went to that church. Isn't that awesome? And we have some connections within that church. And so here's the deal. Number one thing is this. As we celebrate new life, there for them it's just a change. So let's work through this process and let's just see how this thing is. You say, well, how can I get involved and help? Here's how you can help. Get involved. You know what? Everything I said this morning involves people. You know how we're going to do a church plant? With prayer and people. You know how we're going to do this? It's going to take us, whenever this happens, we're going to join forces. It's not that they're done. They're joining forces. They like what Watermark is doing. Watermark is, you know what I'm saying, has tons of kids. And we had 60 kids at Easter last week. I mean, and so So part of this is saying we need to update the building. We need to do some things to make it operation. So we need some help this summer or whenever it happens. There's no timetable. This is just in the process. But we're going to need your help. So here's a couple of things. Number one, love, grow, serve. Here's what I need you to do. Number one, love. Love, 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 love. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Because it's not watermark that the St. Croix Valley needs, it's Jesus. Is that making sense? St. Croix Valley needs Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that changed. You know what your family needs? You know what you need? You know what your kids need? Your kids need you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Your kids need a new passion. You need a new passion. Same mission, new passion. We need to love well. Love the Lord well, but we need to love other people well. We just need to keep on loving and loving well. This is what we need to do. We just need to love. And the other one is this. Is just as we love and grow, I think this. I said we need to grow. We need to grow healthy as a church. We need to keep the mission the same, but God has called us to a great mission, which is called the commission, which is his mission to reach and to save, to make disciples. This is a great commission. And people say, well, I don't know what I'm called to do. If you peel the onion back far enough, we all have the same mission. So when people say, I don't know what I'm called to do, yeah, you do. You're called to the Great Commission. It may look different for you, but you're called to reach, to save, to disciple, to, you know what I'm saying, to further his kingdom. That's what we're called to do. This is, you know, some people, and I'll say this, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing about something. Wisdom is walking out what you know. Do a lot of people know a lot of Christian things? It doesn't mean they're following Jesus Christ. Amen? So don't just be knowledgeable, but walk with the Lord and walk with him. And I would say this, lastly, I would say this, serve. What's your next step? This is the thing. First time guests, there's number one thing happens, usually you visit a church, and then you attend, and then you serve, and then you get in some kind of leadership position. Here's what I'm telling people. Go from visiting to attending to getting involved. And for instance, we just want people. Don't be a consumer, be a contributor. Get involved, because this does take manpower. Visions like this takes finances, takes energy, takes momentum. It takes us, you know what I'm saying, to further the kingdom. We're still gonna do the same things, just in the new passionate way. Does that make any sense? Next Sunday night, we have a thing called Blueprints. If you've never been through Blueprints before, 6:30 at my parents' house, we're going to get through Blueprints. We want to get you involved. We need people. Dan and Brandon, team, you can come down here. We need people involved. We had 60 kids in nursery, kids, everything last week. Here's what's cool about our teams. We need people. Stacy and kids is really good at not burning people out. Most people are only on a schedule once a month. That's it. They're not on schedule for like forever. They're on schedule like once a month. But we need, as we grow, and we all want to grow, as we grow, we need help. We need help with the greeters. We need help in kids. You notice we need help? Dustin and Anna are back here. We need help with sound and lights. You're thinking, well, I don't know anything about sound and lights. They're great teachers. You don't need to. It's probably better if you don't know anything. Then you can be taught how to use this better. We just need help. You might be thinking, how can I get involved? Maybe it's in a worship team. I don't know what it is. But I just want people to say, listen, I look at all this. And the reason this is part of the miracles is because when I look back over the last 20 years, just like Paul's missionary journey, when you listen to the voice of the Lord, can I just be frankly honest with you? When I was a youth pastor, I had a kid come up to me and says, you know what, Jarvis, you know what I wish for? And I said, what? I wish I had what Moses had. So what's that? I wish I had a burning bush experience. I wish I just had some miracle burning bush experience that I knew was of the Lord. I just knew it. And I looked at him, I said, you know what Moses wishes he had? Kid goes, what? What you got. Because in scripture, even though God would speak through a donkey, or God would speak through a burning bush, or God would speak through the tablets, sometimes it was hundreds of years before God would speak. And because of the death on the cross, because of the resurrection, and because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we just went from the analog days to the digital days of hearing God's voice. Is this true? It was no longer like signal, 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 signal. It was like, brrp. You know what the miracle is? That God still speaks to his people. And you don't need a burning bush experience on the outside because you have a burning bush on the inside. You don't need some flashy moment on the outside because God is turning that on the inside, and God is speaking to you, and God is pulling things out of you, and God wants to bring life where there's death. And here's the deal. God wants to speak to his people through your heart, through scripture. Just read scripture. God is always speaking to you. So the question is, what's your next step? If we just stand up. You know what's fun? I didn't even get in my sermon. So life group leaders, your notes are going to be a mess. Yeah, next week. Next week, I have two messages next week. But I just want to let you know, this is what I'm excited about, just a passion for the Lord. So we're going to pray, then we're going to do some communion because I want us to be together. Does that make sense? We're just going to be together. But here's what I want you to ask yourself. What is God asking of me, and what's my next step? How is God stretching me? I'm going to tell you this. If it feels hard for you, pretty good sign. That's how you're being stretched. That's how you're being stretched. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Jarvis, that passion for the Lord, I want that passion for the Lord. I need more of God in my life, and I just need his direction. I need him. If that's you this morning and you're saying, I want to surrender my heart to Jesus Christ, I just want you to raise your hands. Don't be afraid. I see that. Awesome. Some of you for the first time, and some of you, you're just saying, I need something new. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, give me a new passion. Forgive me my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Help me surrender these things to you. Show me my next step. Lord, come into my life. Fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you guys in a minute. There's some communion in the back. There's communion down here. I just want us to spend some time together in prayer. We do open communion here, which means it's not between me and you. It's between you and the Lord. We just believe that it's You know where your heart's at. And we just say, if you accept the Lord in your life, maybe the first time right now, it's awesome. This is your next step. But we just feel like this is a representation. So what I'm asking you to do is either step in the back and grab communion or come down the front. Don't take it right away, but just make room in the back or make room in the front. And in a few more moments, I will describe the next step. Does that sound good? But if we can come as they begin to play, if you can come forward, let's just take the communion right now.